One evening, I decided to go out riding. My English hat and coat were resting on a rack. I was about to take them down when a sudden whirlwind, crested with the sands of the Suster and the dead leaves of the Avalli Hills, caught them up and whirled them around and around. A loud peal of laughter rose higher and higher and finally faded away in the dying sunset. The next day, I gave up my odd English coat and hat for good. Again that day, at the dead of night, I heard stifled, heartbreaking sobs, as if below the bed, below the floor, below the stony foundation of the gigantic palace, from the depths of a dark, damp grave, a voice was piteously crying to me.
Please, rescue me. Break through these doors of illusion, slumber, and fruitless dreams. Place me by your side. Press me to your heart. Take me to the warm radiance of your sunny rooms above.
How can I rescue you? What drowning beauty, what incarnate passion shall I drag to the shore from this wild eddy of dreams? Oh, lovely, ethereal apparition, where did you flourish and when?
By a cool spring, beneath the shade of a date grove, I was born. In the lap of a homeless wanderer in the desert.
A Bedouin snatched you from your mother's arms, an opening bud plucked from a wild creeper.
He placed me on a horse, swift as lightning. We crossed the burning sands. He took me to the slave market of that royal city.
And there, an officer of the Badshah, seeing the glory of your bashful, blossoming youth, paid for you in gold palanquin.
He offered me as a present for the harem of his master.
And the history of this palace?
The music of the sarang, the jingle of anklets, the flash of daggers, the glowing wine of Shiraz poison, the piercing, flashing glances, slave girls to my right and left waving fans, diamonds flashing from their bracelets. The Badshah, the king of kings, fell on his knees at my feet.
Outside, the terrible Abyssinian eunuch, looking like a messenger of death but cloaked like an angel, stood with a naked sword in his hand.
Stand back! Stand back!
That crazy Meher Ali screamed out. I opened my eyes and saw it was already light. My Shaprazi came and handed me my letters. The cook stood waiting for my orders. No, I can stay here no longer. That very day, I packed up and moved to my office.
Sleepless nights?
I did not reply. As evening approached, I grew absent-minded. I felt I had an appointment to keep. The work of examining cotton accounts was totally useless. Whatever belonged to the present, whatever was moving and acting and working for wages was trivial, meaningless, contemptible. I threw down my pen, closed my ledgers, got into my carriage and drove away. It stopped by itself at the gate of that marble palace just at the hour of twilight. Hurriedly, I climbed the steps and entered the room. A heavy silence hung in the air. The dark rooms were sullen, as if they had taken offense. My heart was full of contrition, but there was no one to whom I could open it or of whom I could ask forgiveness. I wandered about the dark rooms. I wanted to sing out, "Oh, fire, the poor moth that made a vain effort to fly away has come back to you. Forgive it this once, burn its wings, and consume it in your flame." Suddenly, two teardrops fell from overhead. Dark clouds had overcast the top of the Avalli Hills. The gloomy woods and the gray waters of the Suster were waiting in an ominous calm. Suddenly, land, water, and sky shivered, and a wild tempest rushed howling through the distant woods, showing its lightning teeth like a raving maniac who had broken his chains. The desolate halls of the palace banged their doors and moaned in the bitterness of anguish. The servants were all in the town. There was no one to light the lamps. The night was cloudy and moonless. In the dense gloom, I felt a woman was lying on her face on the carpet below the bed, clasping and tearing her long hair with desperate fingers. Blood was trickling down that exquisite face. And now she was laughing. A hard, mirthless laugh, now bursting into violent sobs, now ripping her blouse and striking at her bare breasts as the wind roared in through the open window and the rain poured in torrents and soaked her through and through. All during the night, there was no cessation of the storm or of the passionate cry. I wandered in the dark from room to room. Whom could I console when there was no one there? Whose agony was this? Whence came this inconsolable grief?
Stand back! Stand back! All is false! All is false!
The day had dawned. In that dreadful weather, Meher Ali was roaming the palace with his usual cry. Suddenly, it came to me that perhaps he had once lived here, and although he had gone mad, he came every day and went around and around, fascinated by the weird spell cast by this marble demon. Despite the storm and rain, I ran to him.
Meher Ali! Meher Ali! Why do you cry? Stand back! What is false?
He did not answer. He pushed me aside and went around and around with his frantic cry, like a bird flying fascinated about the jaws of a snake and making a desperate effort to warn himself by repeating, "Stand back! Stand back! All is false! All is false!" I ran like a madman through the rain to my office. Karim Khan, tell me the meaning of all this.
Sit down. I'll make a pot of tea.
No. Tell me now.
Sit down, please.
What I gathered from the old man was this, that at one time, the unrequited passion, unsatisfied longings, and lurid flames of wild pleasure raged within that palace. And the curse of all the heartaches and blasted hopes had made its every stone thirsty and hungry and eager to swallow up like a famished ogress any living man who might chance to approach.
Not one of those who lived there for three consecutive nights could escape these cruel jaws, save Meher Ali, who escaped at the cost of his reason.
Is there no means of my release?
There is only one means, and that is very difficult. I will tell you what it is, but first you must hear the history of a young Persian girl who once lived in that pleasure dome. A stranger or a more bitterly heart-rending tragedy was never enacted on this earth.
Gentlemen, my station, I must leave you.
But...
I'm sorry that I'm unable to finish my story. Your company has been a pleasure. Goodbye.
We never had a chance of discovering who the man was or the end of his story.
The Hungry Stones was written by Rabindranath Tagore, featuring David Warrilow as the storyteller Karim Khan and Meher Ali. The Persian Girl was played by Laura Esterman, with Arjun Sajnani as the young man on the train. The music was composed and performed by Timothy Clark. Environments were recorded in India by ZBS. The Hungry Stones was adapted and directed by Thomas Lopez.